I don't say this probably enough, but we've got a wonderful staff here at our church, from Brother Jay, who teaches Bible study on Tuesday. I came by up here yesterday, and there was Brother Bill. He was out visiting. Or was that yesterday or the day before? Anyhow, he was out visiting, and there's Brother Teddy, man, and the choir that he leads. And then, who's that other guy? Dan? Dan's great, and glad to have him as here and on our staff and as a friend. And then Richard. Richard's off today. If you wonder where Richard's at, he has a well-deserved vacation. I tell you, he's been to camp ever since June the 1st, and he's tired, I'm sure. I've been to Ethiopia and back and all those other places, but man, a young guy, he's great. I'm glad to have him here. And then we have Brother Dub, works with our finances. Couldn't have a better guy. And Rhonda, my wife, as our secretary. And man, I tell you what, she's needed some time off. So she took some time off, and Kelly filled in for her and Nicholson. And so God's just been good to us. Got plenty of musicians and talented musicians, and Pam and Jody, and Jody's father's in the hospital, or she'd be here this morning. And Wednesday night, I tell you, we have, I can't even remember her name now, but the little lady plays the organ for us, and she's, who? Joanne, I remember just then. Man, the God is so good to this church, and so many times we wonder, I wonder, Lord, why? Why are you so good to us? But he is. So this morning, if you will, I want us to talk about warnings from God. Warnings from God. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Driving down the highway, come to a train crossing. There's a sign that says warning. And it warns us, especially if train's coming, a red light flashing, but a sign with an X on it tells us there's a train crossing and we need to pay attention. So many people get killed crossing railroad tracks with so many warning signs. They do not listen to them, and they run out in front of a train, and to me, that's, you know, dying needlessly. So many times we see that happen. Somebody tries to beat that train, and they end up getting killed. They do not pay attention to the warning. Then we all know what a skull and crossbones are, poison. And that reminds us of danger and things like that. Well, God put some warning signs, five of them, I would say, in Hebrews. And I want to talk about warnings from God this morning. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Listen to what the Word of God says. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the warnings that you give us. And God, today as we look at the warnings that we have here in the Word of God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch our hearts. Lord, let us open our hearts to you, that you might reveal to us these warnings. Show us what we are on the inside, that we might get our lives right before you, that we might live according to your word, that we might know the joy and the peace and the abundant life that you have in store for your children. God, we just thank you that you're a loving God, but you're also a God of judgment. And Lord, we ask this morning that you show us in your word where we need to change before we stand before you. And we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. There is a call to be alert. A call to be alert in verse 1. Therefore, he says, we must give the more earnest heed. Therefore, here's a reminder here of the place that God's Word is to have in our heart. Notice one thing God says. We need to hear the Word. A lot of us come to church, but we never hear the Word. You see? We come to church, we sit, we might read our Bibles, we might listen to our Sunday school teacher, but we do not hear the Word. And the preacher is to preach the Word. The Bible says preach the Word in season. Be ready, in season, out of season, to preach the Word. And there's a lot of difference between preaching the Word and preach the Word. You see, in preaching class, they taught us several different ways to expound on the gospel. There's the topical sermons, where a preacher might take a topic and run with it. There's expository preaching, where you just go through the Word of God, verse by verse. I love that. And where you teach the Word of God. Now, if I'm going to preach the Word of God, you're to hear the Word of God. Folks, we need to open up our ears. It surprises me to come to church, so many people, and they got their phones out nowadays, they got all kinds of distractions going on in their life, and they really don't listen to the Word of God. But that word, when it says heed, means to be attentive to what is being said. You see, someone, when someone preaches, you need to listen. And sometimes we know what happens. A teacher asks a little boy, "Son, why is it important to be quiet in church?" And he says, "Because there's so many people sleeping." And I know by looking out here and some looking in the choir sometimes, I catch somebody like this. You're thinking, well, he's thinking I'm praying. I know you're asleep. God knows you're asleep. You're not fooling anybody. There will forget the guy that slept on the front row. And one day the preacher says, "Well, I'm going to get him good, because when he always says, 'Let's stand and sing,' he jumps up." And so the preacher one day said, "Anybody want to go to hell? Stand up." And the guy stood up. Well, listen to what is being said. When you come to church, listen and read your Bible along with the preacher and study that word together. James says, not only hear the word, we need to be attentive to the word, but he says, be ye doers of the word. You see, preach and obey. Hear and obey the word of God. Be attentive to it. Now, James says, that's a warning. We need to get to where we hear the word. And then it says there's also a condition to be avoided. Look what it says. Give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Or some of the Bible says, some translation says, or we should let them slip. Now, there's a warning in the Word of God that we shouldn't let things slip. Well, that word slip is an interesting word. It is a word that's used in a whole lot of different ways and meanings. One is it's a distractive condition. You know, sometimes we become distracted, don't we, in the things that we do. Heard about a lady who had lost a very important cross to her or a piece of jewelry, and she said the last time she had it, it was around her neck, and somehow or another it slipped away. Well, let me tell you something. I know all about slipping. About a month ago, I had a telephone. And, you know, I've become distracted. And I've been over in the boat, and that telephone just slipped right out of my pocket into the lake. Lost it. Slip. We become distracted so many times, and our ladies, a ring. Have you ever had a ring on your finger and you looked down and it was gone? What happened to it? It slipped off. And you didn't notice it, did you? You're probably distracted about something else and it slipped away from your finger. Whether it slips out of your pocket or off your finger, you know, sometimes in a Christian life, we need to watch our lives and guard our lives, the Bible says, protect our lives unless we get distracted. That word means to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ or out of focus and slip or drift away. Heard this interesting little story about a man whose wife passed away, or she had a heart attack at home. He called the medic, said, "My wife's had a heart attack. Would you come and take her to the hospital?" So here come paramedics in their ambulance and picked her up. And on the way to the hospital, she quit breathing. They got her to the hospital and pronounced her dead. They called him and said, "Sir, your wife has passed away." And they were putting her in one of the places there at the hospital so he could get out. But on the way down, and they took her and put her in that morgue there, they bumped the wall with her, and she came back to life. They took her up to the ICU and took care of her, and she lived 10 more years. 10 more years. After that, she had another heart attack, and he called the paramedics, and they come rushing out to the house, and they started to put her on that gurney and take her off and said, "Hey, boys, don't bump her up against the wall this time." Well, I know that didn't go over some of the women probably, but she slipped away. As Christians, we've got to be careful, folks. That was just a little joke. Watchful, the Bible says. I think Brother Bill told me that. Or it could have been Brother Jay. Sounds like something he would have told. You know, we've got to be watchful in our life, don't we? We don't mean to drift. We don't mean to slip away. But somehow we're distracted by the things of the world. And we begin to drift. And before long, our focus is off of Christ. And we don't even know it, do we? It's like the ring, it's like the necklace, it's like my telephone. It's gone. You see, that's the way we do, a distracted condition. But it also means a distant condition. You see, slip is used of sometimes a ship that's pulled into shore and anchored there. I know if you're a fisherman, probably pull up on a bank sometimes and you throw out a line, or you tie it off on a tree and you didn't tie it good, and the first thing you know, the waves have caused your boat to move and it's slipped away and it's going further and further from the bank and you have to run and catch it. Supposedly you tied it down. You see, sometimes we listen, if we're not careful, the winds of this life and the storms of this life will come and blow upon our lives. And soon we find ourselves missing God's word. "Oh, well, preacher, you know, it's just Sunday night. I come on Sunday morning, I come to Bible study, I come to church, I hear what you have to say. But, you know, Sunday night, I kind of stay home with my family." Before long, it's not Sunday night, it's Sunday morning also. What's happened? We didn't tie ourselves down very good, did we? And the first thing you know, we've slipped. "Oh, well, it's no big deal. I'll make it up next month." We forget to give our tithe. "Oh, well, that's no big deal. The church has got plenty of money." And we begin to let that go and let that go. And it's not that we're robbing the church, we're robbing God. Amen. You see? It's not my standards for you, it's what God says in His Word. "Bring the whole tithe," Brother Bill said, "into the storehouse." You see? It's a commandment for you. And if you're not careful, you don't mean anything by it, but you drift. You drift. It's also a dry condition. A dry condition. Went out this year, had an old plastic 5-gallon bucket. I always liked that old bucket. I'd put feed in it. I'd put whatever I needed to haul in it. Haul water in it. But that old bucket I left laying out in the yard around the back of the barn, and the sun beat on it, and the winter beat on it, and the sun beat on it, and the winter beat on it. And you know what? It dried out. And one day I went out there to get that thing, and I was going to fill it with water, and you know what happened? It had a hole in the bottom of it. It had a crack in the bottom of that because it had been sitting in the sun so long and heated up, and then in the winter conditions that it cracked. I didn't even know it was cracked until I poured the water in it, and I realized it was coming out the bottom about as fast as it was going in the top. Well, Ephesians 3:19 says, we should be filled with all the fullness of God. And Ephesians 5:18 says, tells us to be filled with the Spirit of God, and yet many times we're so dry in our spiritual condition that we become leaky vessels, don't we? We've developed a life that, you know, our vessel is no longer cleaned. Our vessel has got cracks in it. Over in Judges, the 16th chapter, there's a man named Samson. Samson was a man that was actually called by God and given power by God. But, you know, Samson was also a man that had a problem. He wanted to do things his way. He didn't mind disobeying God. And so he lived his life in a dry condition, recklessly, in other words. And the Holy Spirit, every time he would need God, he would call on him, and God was there. But the Bible says, and let me see, it's in Judges, the 16th chapter, verse 20, that Samson wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. You see, he thought, as long as he just, Lord, I need you, well, Lord would do it. But God says no to Samson. He continued to live in a dry condition. He continued to live in his own will instead of God's will. And the Spirit of God left him. And folks, let me tell you something. When the Spirit of God leaves you, you're in trouble. The Spirit of God just said, okay, Samson, I'm not there anymore. When you call on me, you'll find out. About a month or so ago, I went outside, got in my pickup, cranked it up, and started to back out, and a light come on and says, you got a flat. Tire was low. The air had leaked out. It was because there was a nail in that tire. Now, that nail might have been in there for quite some time. I do not know, but I know one thing. Overnight, that night, it leaked out, and it became useless. I couldn't go anywhere because of the flat. And you see, I wasn't even aware that that tire was leaking, but it was leaking. And you know, you and I are like that, aren't we? We go flat many times. We do things our way. Many times we're like Samson. We just go to church sometimes when it feels good. We go to church sometimes when everything's going our way. We leave God out of our lives completely. And we expect, when we get in trouble, just say, God, where are you? Why don't we call on him? We haven't called on him in years. And we blame him, don't we? We blame him. It's not the tire's fault that it had a hole in it. It was my fault for not noticing. You see, so many times we live our lives so spiritually empty, we don't even know that we have drifted so far from God. I wonder how many of you, don't answer me. Sometimes, you know, you ask questions like this and somebody will raise their hand and it's embarrassing. But I just wonder how many of you have picked up your Bible this week and read it. How many of you just meditated on the Word? How many of you prayed? Besides, now lay me down to sleep, or thank you, Lord, for the food. I mean, really prayed. I mean, you got serious with God enough to get out and say, Lord, here am I. This is what I'm doing. This is what's bothering me in my life. He knows that. Where am I in compared to you, God? What do you want me to change about my life? You see, that's a dry condition. And we need to get ourselves right with God. That's a warning, he says. Therefore, we must give heed to the Word of God, lest we drift away. And folks, our churches are full, our denomination is full, our world is full of churches that have drifted away from God, and they don't even know it. Man, I've been talking to some of my pastor friends. Their churches are so far away from God. If God didn't attend on Sunday morning, they wouldn't even know it. They just carry on like they've always been. Had a friend tell me this week, I'm so tired of going to church, and all the people want to do is do things their way or else. They don't listen to the Word of God. They don't come anymore. You know, it's just, we're in a dry condition. In our churches, dry. Not only that, folks, we find ourselves, the word means a defeated condition. The root of this word means to flow like a river. And it gives the impression, the ideal of watching from the riverbank, something as it drifts past and gets further and further away from you. You ever do that? I grew up on a creek, and when I was a kid, we'd get a boat and we'd push it out into the river and we'd watch it go down the river. Of course, we'd run and catch it. But if you're not careful, it'll drift faster than you can run. And it'll get away from you every once in a while. People who used to go to church have allowed something to get them out of God's work. You see? And so many times in our lives, we get so far from God, we think we can't catch up to Him. It's drifted down the river, further and further away. And let me tell you something. Instead of going on with God, they're left standing and watching from the riverbank. And they get defeated in their life. Man, let me tell you something. I guess I've tried it all. You can live out there without God, but you're going to be a defeated person. God didn't save you as a Christian for you to sit on the riverbank and watch everything go by. You'll be defeated. Not only that, let me tell you what else. If you are a Christian, if you're really a Christian, and you've been born again, if you're sitting on the riverbank and you're living a life of just drifting and God will pass you by, you will begin discouraged because everything seems to be going past you and you can't stop it. You see, that's not what we're supposed to do. The Bible says you got to give earnest heed lest we drift. You know what's wrong with you? And what's wrong with me? I'm pointing at myself when I'm preaching this too. You're out of the will of God. You wasn't made to sit on the riverbank and watch the church go by or God's word go by. Now let's get this straight. God is not going to stop and wait on you. You can get out there and get hurt all you want to. The church is going to go on. His work is going to go on. The dislikes and the discouragement will come upon your life. And let me tell you, His work will carry on without you. Amen. God doesn't need me. I would be silly and foolish to think that this church is what it is today because of me. God said, no, if you don't do it, I'll get somebody else to do it. I'm not going to stop my work and wait on you, Booney. If you want to get mad and discouraged at the work, and sometimes I do get a little discouraged, but if you want to do that, you go ahead and do it, but I got somebody that will carry on, and it'll continue without you or me. And that's what he's saying. Be on guard in your life and keep your spiritual life from slipping, folks. Not only that, be alert. It says, and be alarmed. I want you to look at 2 and 3. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward or recompense in some books, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, most of the time I hear this in regard to salvation or rejecting salvation, but the warning is not to the lost. The warning is to saved people here. Notice, how shall, the writer says, we escape. The writer himself is in this condition, and I believe the writer of Hebrews is a saved person, and I think this is a warning to believers. And he's talking about, he's not talking about rejecting salvation, but he's talking about neglecting salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect? Now, that's an interesting word, neglect. In the Greek, it's used the same as over in Matthew 22, verse 5. In Matthew 22 verse 5, it says, they made light of the work of God, and they went their own ways. They made light of it. One went to his farm, the other went to his merchandise. And that same word is used here in Hebrews 2 and 3 when it says neglect. Neglect. They make light. Let's look at it. How shall we escape if we make light of so great of salvation? You see, making light of the salvation. Now, here's two specific things here. One, our salvation. How do we make light of our salvation? Well, it says so great of salvation. You know, the vastness of salvation is, I don't understand it all. It'd take my whole life plus an eternity to understand God's plan of salvation for me. I don't understand it. I know how to be saved and everything, but why he saved me, I don't know. But I thank God he did. And friends, he gives us a warning here. Don't take salvation lightly. Amen. How do we do that? Well, let me tell you something. When we come to God's house and God's word is proclaimed and we let it fall on our deaf ears, we're taking it lightly. I'm not preaching to somebody else. I'm preaching to you. Amen. You see? And if you think, well, he's hitting everybody but me, you're taking it lightly. Right. You're probably one that slipped. And God tells us to obey. And we don't obey, then we take it lightly, don't we? So lightly. We take it lightly when we just tend, like I said, in our church attendance. Every once in a while, we take our salvation lightly when we do that. Man, because God saved me, I don't have to come to church. I don't come to church just to preach. If I wasn't preaching, I'd be in church. You see, because I don't take what God has given me lightly. I take of it as a precious thing. That's the reason I tithe. You can ask Brother Dove if I tithe. I don't care. You're going to find out that I do. I don't stand up here and tell you to tithe and don't do it myself. Amen. You see, I believe. I don't take that lightly because I believe God's given it to me. Amen. And if I don't do what God, if I don't obey God, then I've taken his word lightly. Amen. Even in our service, when I serve God, I take every responsibility that I have of God, I take it seriously because God says we don't take it lightly. And then he says, when we disregard God's law, we take salvation lightly. You see, when I think about God, God so loved you and I that He left the throne of heaven to come down here to earth, to live among us. Man, when I think of that, that God so loved me that He gave His only Son to die for me, man, I don't take that lightly. To cleanse me, to change me, man. And when I just laugh about that and say, well, I can go to church this week, I think I'll go fishing this week, I'm taking that salvation lightly, folks. And our churches are full of people today that take lightly. And then let me tell you the second thing, and I'm going to close. We take lightly our salvation, and we take lightly our sin. Look at verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by God? How did God speak? Well, the Bible tells us over in the first of Hebrews that He spoke in various ways. He spoke and passed by the angels. Yeah, angelic messengers. And the Bible says they proved steadfast. Steadfast. Reliable. They proved true. When they had a word of God to give, they gave it. They obeyed that word of God. When God gave the law from the prophets through Moses, you know what? When Moses gave the Ten Commandments, you know, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, that law was strict. Thou shalt not have another God before me. Now, folks, if you take that lightly, well, we don't go by the Ten Commandments anymore. Yeah, we do. I do. I don't put another God before God. He gave that promise, and He said, don't put a, or that law. And He said, don't put another God before me, Booney. If you do, there's punishment. Man, there was punishment in the Old Testament. I'm so afraid our churches all be struck dead today if we acted like they did in the Old Testament, see? God's punishment, every transaction, every time they violated God's law, He punished them. Amen. Disobedience. He punished them. Neglect. He punished them. Man, when He said you should not break a law, you deliberately broke one of God's law, death. I remember Achan over in the battle of Joshua, they went in Ai. Achan saw all the good and the gold. He said, I'll just take some of that and hide it in my tent. Nobody would ever know. He did. God destroyed his whole family. Kill them all. Why? Just one man disobeyed. God said, hey, I don't take sin lightly. Now, folks, if He didn't take sin lightly when it was spoken by the angels, this is what I'm trying to get over, and the prophets, how much more should we obey God's word since we heard it through His Son, Jesus Christ? You see, if it was serious enough for God to kill the whole family or to punish by death, man, it's serious enough for us when He sent His own Son. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Over in Hebrews 1:2. He no longer speaks through the angels and the prophets. He speaks through His Son, through the Word, through the Holy Spirit. And then it says, every transgression and every disobedience shall receive a just recompense or reward. Now, I was listening to Brother Jay's study on Revelation. We talked about that. One day you're going to stand before God, and it ain't going to be just a two-second stand. I believe He's going to tell you, you're going to look in His face, like He said it, and we're going to give an account of our lives, good and bad. Man, I don't know. When God peers through His eyes at me, I can tell you right now, I need to be on my face saying, Lord, have mercy on me. You see, every transgression will receive. And how shall we escape punishment of sin seeing that God has spoken His word by His Son. Now, folks, we cannot, as Christians, disobey God's word without paying a price. You think you can disobey God without paying a price? You're laughing at Him. You're taking it lightly. You're not going to escape. How shall we escape? Well, the only thing I know you can do is in 1 John 1:9. The Bible says, if we, that means us, you and I, if we will get on our knees before God and confess to Him our sins, that's what we need to do, don't we? We need to get on our knees before God and confess our sin to Him. He is faithful, the Bible says, and just to cleanse us and forgive us. That's the only way I know to escape. And folks, that's what we need to do in our lives. If you have neglected your salvation, if you've taken it lightly, if you've drifted away from God, you can deal with your sin by coming to Him and saying, Lord, I need forgiveness. I need to confess it. I need to get my life right. And do that. You can deal with it this morning. Or you can let God deal with it. And you're not going to like it when He deals with it. Now the choice is yours and mine. The warnings are there. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What's your choice this morning? Are you going to deal with the sin in your life and get things right? Or are you going to take it lightly and let God deal with it one day? I'm telling you, you need to deal with it this morning and get it right and get your life back on tune. You're saying, well, I don't know. God says, if we confess, He is faithful. You confess it to Him. You get your life right with Him. You get back on the boat and quit drifting. And everything will be all right. I'm not saying you're not going to have to pay some price for the sins you've committed. We always do, don't we? But with God, He is faithful and just. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for the Word of God. Lord, we've heard what the Bible says. Now, Lord, I ask You, let us obey what the Bible says. And let us confess our sins before You. Let us get right with You and not take our salvation lightly. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.